This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:15 in the morning. I'm Chuang, joined by Wong Xiaoning. In about half an hour, we'll be talking about how the virus has impacted the durian industry. And in fact, BFM has put a poll on its Twitter page, like it likes to do in the morning, asking you to respond to whether your behaviour has changed in the COVID-19 outbreak. Tell us how. There's three options. Yes, no, and not sure. But in the meantime, let's talk about and look at Malaysia's politics. It's all about the Prime Minister. And apparently, according to the news, Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim has met with our PM, Tun Mahathir, yesterday to discuss the transition plan for the post. And Anwar raised this issue because it was believed that PAS, UMNO and a handful of PKR members were involved in efforts to gather signatures to support Dr. Mahathir's leadership until the end of the term.
Yeah, in fact, one of the newspapers even printed out how many MPs from different parties were involved in this so-called signature campaign, I would call it. And they like had very specific, so like this party how many. And I think at first they denied it. Everybody just denied it. But then I think Anwar had came out to say, no, it does exist, this so-called, I think, SD with regards to all these signatures. But nevertheless, it is said that Dr. Mahathir is not involved in this effort, but instead reiterated that firmly that he will relinquish his post as promised, which I think is supposed to be in November after the APEC. Now, Dato' Sri Anwar is, of course, has been said to be willing to let Dr. Mahathir lead the country after this APEC, which is, like I said, due in November.
Of course, this matter will be brought up at the Pakatan Presidential Council meeting next week. Separately, on another note, analysts have cited the protracted uncertainty of the transition of leadership as one of the reasons for investors' cautious stance on Malaysia's economy. It's really more broadly policy uncertainty, right? Because if you don't know who's going to lead the country, then you don't know who's going to be imposing what kind of policies. Bloomberg data shows that foreign investors took out about $3 billion from Bursa Malaysia last year. One of the biggest sell-offs in the Asian markets.
Yeah, we were one of the most unloved markets, right? We were down 6% year-to-date when the rest of Asia, I think almost every major market was in positive territory.
Correct, and that pessimism actually has translated into this year as well. Hopefully that the tide will stem. Like all tides do, it's just a matter of time. Okay, according to Malaysia's chief statistician, Dr. Mohamed Uzia Mahidin, the newest household income survey due in April will give a more accurate indication of poverty levels in Malaysia. Now, what's new in this new survey are new methods of calculating poverty levels, a more detailed breakdown of the income bands among M40s and B40s, and a new cost of living index based on wages and the cost of food and household products in different parts of the country. So to get a better feel of what's happening here and to get a feel of what's at stake, we speak to Dr. Mohamed Uzia Mahidin. He's the chief statistician at the Department of Statistics. Dr. Uzia, give us a sense, please, of these new methods of calculating poverty. In layman terms, how is it different?
Good morning. In terms of the calculation of the poverty, what been quoted or what been released so far, we calculate the poverty based on the amount of income required by the household to conduct their daily life. So at the moment, our calculation show that the average amount of the income required by household is 920 ringgit, 980 ringgit at the moment.
Yes, doctor, but does it matter? Because I'm sure that the cost of living does differ, let's say, from rural and also urban households, right?
Exactly. At the moment, we're going to refine this. We're going to release many indicators. For example, very soon we're going to release the new calculation on the poverty based on the multi-dimensional poverty that comprised of four components. One on the education, second on the health, third on the quality of life, and fourth on the household income. So the household income is only one of the four components in the new calculation. I give the meaning on that. For example, if the household not going to school less than 11 years, we consider that they are in the poverty. They're deprived on the education. And second, on the health, if the household have to travel more than 5 kilometers from their home to get the health facility, they also they have been considered as deprived for the medical facility. While on the quality of life, is including the quality of home, how many numbers of people stay in one room, they also have been taken care and using this multidimensional poverty. And of course, to bring this statistic close to the people, many people like to associate their experience to the official statistic. So for this time around, we're going to release the poverty line for every district in the Malaysia. We have 160 districts in Malaysia. So everyone can see their income required to have the very good life in every district. But we know that the cost of goods in every district is very much different. For example, if you are stay in the urban area, in the city, the cost is much higher compared if you live in the rural area.
Yeah, Dr. Ozia, last year, the United Nations have criticized Malaysia's official poverty numbers as being vastly undercounted. Do you think that your new measures will be more aligned with the United Nations, the UN's measurements and metrics?
Okay. Actually, I like to convey the message that what we published, what we computed so far is already in line with the international best practice. What you call, we measure the poverty based on the incident poverty. So we managed to reduce our poverty from as higher as 49% in 1970, and the latest number in 2016 is 0.4%. This, of course, a lot of the debate in terms of this way of calculation and the computation, also including the Peter, what the name, the Peter Axon comment. Actually, Peter Axon is the person that hired by the World Bank to look at the new way of the look at the poverty. And we welcome the view that when they mentioned that our poverty is not that low. Actually, he quoted the new way of the look at the poverty in terms of the relative poverty. In our calculation show that the relative poverty is close to 15.6%. It's about the same number quoted by him.
And do you think with the new methods of calculating poverty, will it translate to better policy measures or targeting to help ease cost of living for those really in the lower income groups?
Exactly. For the new calculation, we also have to look at the more refined. At the moment, everyone look at the vacation based on B40, middle 40, and top 20. But in the new release, we're going to slicing the income using the quantile and every 20% the 20 percentile, and also at the medium. So a lot of the improvement. We also have to look at the, for example, if you are in the middle 40, and not everybody in the middle 40 is really have the good income. Some of the middle 40 also in the group of what we consider as wonderful income. And we take into account the cost of living, and of course in the our certificate system, we already collect a lot of price on a weekly basis for us to calculate the inflation rate. So this inflation rate will be factored in our new indicators.
And Dr. Zia, since we've got you on the line, can you talk about the employment statistics for the fourth quarter last year? They just came out yesterday. How would you assess the health, in your opinion, of Malaysia's labour market from this data, especially in light of the evidence of the high youth and unemployment in the country?
At this juncture, in overall, our employment rate is reduced to 3.2%. And for the throughout the year for 2019, the country managed to create a new job, 107,000 new jobs added into the market. Besides the existing job that been vacancy before, and also because have to be filled in because the retirees and so forth. In overall, we see that the big chunk of our labor force in the services sector. And during the announcement of the GDP for fourth quarter, it showed that the GDP growth for the service sector grows quite strong, about 6%.
Okay, thanks ever so much, Dr. Uziam. That was Dr. Mohamed Uziam Mahidin. He's the chief statistician at the Government Department of Statistics. It's very interesting that the government is right now, and I think this is a welcome move, Xiaoning, updating how the country measures poverty. In the past, I think, was very much the poverty-line income, which is basically absolute poverty, just your household income and where that falls below that line. Obviously, in this day and age, that's not sufficient. So now, of course, Dr. Uziam has suggested that his new poverty index takes into account access to healthcare, access to schooling, access to good jobs, basically, and all kinds of other things.
Yeah, I think in the past, we tended to focus very much on this poverty line income, which measures absolute poverty. But like you say, Chuang, it doesn't really keep up with the pace of change of income and quality of life in Malaysia. And it doesn't maybe specifically say, okay, in this District A, what should be the standard of living? District B, what is the standard of living? Because yes, the cost of income and the cost of living really, really differs very much from where you stay, right? So if you stay in urban KL, you know, rent is much more expensive. You might get paid more, but your cost of living is also a lot more. So it doesn't necessarily mean your quality of life is going to be better just because you're in urban KL, right?
And of course, access to healthcare as well means that a lot of households in the country, this is a worldwide global thing, right? If you are hit with an exogenous event, like, for example, the breadwinner is suddenly incapacitated for whatever reason, health, or whatever, then the household income suddenly, the tap suddenly stops.
Yes.
And then what happens? Then you're plunged into some kind of disaster, calamity situation. If you look at the statistics, the latest numbers the government has is 2016, and as many as 6.8% of the country's households have homes which are more than 5 km away from medical facilities, and that's quite bad.
I'm sure, and I think it's probably more acute in places like Sabah and Sarawak, right?
Absolutely.
Right, for some of the people living deep in the jungle, so you know they don't have access to, I'm sure, also even schools, right? There's not always a school available for them within a 5 km radius. So it's better that we do look at things from a multidimensional perspective. And what I think I would like to see is, okay, now you have these new levels of determining poverty. What is the government going to do with it? You know, because it's all about rolling out the policies to address these issues, right? Because there's no point having a mountain of data and then not doing anything with the data.
Yeah, I think policy really is dictated by the data and statistics available to them. And I love the fact that the chief stats guy is looking at this.
Yeah.
And so is KRI, Khazanah Research. I mean, they have in the past suggested that there should be a reclassification of how we define poverty, and there should be B20, M50s and T30s. So obviously, there is a wave of momentum in this direction. Okay, we now find ourselves at 7:29 in the morning. We're going to be coming back with some updates on the US politics that's happening after the 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.